Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for July 16th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Because plant species release distinctive odors, we thought dogs might be trained to search for and detect these odors in the field.
They get up before the sun gets up, but when it's just light enough, and forage all through the day until it gets too dark for them to see flowers, basically.
What we did is we set up a speaker and we played our best guess at what romantic, sort of the Barry Manilow calls of the flamingo world would be.
This week, we'll tell you about some bees that aren't quite as busy as you might think, how fish living in Alaska's North Slope are dealing with climate change, and how dogs are helping fight invasive species. But first, Suzanne Bard talked to a scientist who's trying to bring some romance into the lives of captive flamingos.
The Chilean flamingos at the Bronx Zoo haven't been very successful at producing chicks. That's because they're from the southern hemisphere, where the seasons are reversed. They often don't even get in the mood for love until the fall, when it's too cold to breed in New York. So biologists Charles Cerbini and Alan Clark decided to see if playing recorded flamingo calls from a speaker would help get the flamingos to breed. Clark explains.
Other zoos, in order to try to increase breeding of captive flocks of flamingos, have done things from inserting mirrors everywhere to actually purchasing and planting plastic lawn flamingos that people put in their yards, with some moderate to mixed success on those things. And the idea is, because these are colonial birds and they might need social stimulation, if you make them think they're in a larger flock, then perhaps they will begin to exhibit the kinds of breeding behaviors that they exhibit when they're in larger flocks. So I decided, rather than try to plant lawn flamingos or put up mirrors, we would just start with something simple, just providing background flamingo calls to see if that might inspire them to greater heights of flamingo romance. What we did is we set up a speaker and we played our best guess at what romantic, sort of the Barry Manilow calls of the flamingo world would be.
Clark says the calls were surprisingly effective.
What we found in the end was that we were able to move up the date of first egg by over a month, and we nearly doubled the amount of eggs that were laid, and the excitement was that we actually had two parent-raised chicks, which was the first time that that had happened at the Bronx Zoo. So it was a roaring success from that perspective.
He says they're now installing a permanent speaker system at the zoo that will play the most effective flamingo breeding calls to the birds every spring. He adds that other zoos have been asking for their greatest hits collection of flamingo love calls for their own captive breeding efforts.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, our guest reporter, Chelsea Wald, reports from Alaska's North Slope, where she learned how species there are dealing with climate change.
The stream I study, they're the only fish species, and that's because the river freezes solid in the wintertime, and you have to be very hardy in order to survive that kind of circumstances. And they don't freeze in the river, they go and they overwinter in a headwater lake. They're tough critters. It seems to be what's happening. We're getting these longer, drier sessions, and that's going to put stress on the adult population. And you can only sustain that for so long before the entire population is going to do poorly. So it's a concern.
Thanks, Chelsea. Every year, bumblebee colonies engage in a race against time to build up their workforce and produce new queens before the end of summer.
They start with just one individual, the queen. And then over the spring and summer, they need to build up the workforce and at the end of summer, generate new queens and workers and as many of those as possible.
That's biologist Lars Chitka of Queen Mary University in England.
In temperate environments, many bumblebee species really use the entire available photo period, meaning they get up before the sun gets up, but when it's just light enough, and forage all through the day until it gets too dark for them to see flowers, basically.
So he and his colleague, Ralph Stelzer, wondered whether the bees would keep on working 24 hours a day if given the chance.
So we took several colonies of bumblebees a few hundred kilometers north of the polar circle, set them up in a field station, and tagged all the individual workers within the colony. So that's a righteous amount of work to glue a little tag on each of the bees, especially since they don't like particularly being tagged, and they're stinging insects, as you know.
The researchers then tracked the bees' activity.
This was all done around the solstice time, under conditions when there really is permanent sunlight. So in the weeks around summer solstice, around June and July.
Chitka says contrary to their expectations, the bees didn't keep working for 24 hours straight.
What they did instead was shut down their activities around 11 p.m. or midnight and started again the next morning at around 8. So we were surprised by that.
But the scientists think that getting a good night's sleep might help the bees remember where the best foraging sites are.
And that's not an easy job if you've got a brain the size of a pinhead. Taking a period of rest for memory consolidation might make a lot of sense.
Next, Suzanne reports on an effort to train dogs in the fight against invasive weeds.
Spotted knapweed is one of many invasive plants that's choking out native species in the western United States. Inspired by the USDA's Beagle Brigade, which uses trained dogs to sniff out prohibited fruits, vegetables, and meats at ports of entry, invasive plant specialist Kim Goodwin and her colleagues at Montana State University recently field-tested dogs to see if they could locate spotted knapweed for eradication.
Because plant species release distinctive odors, we thought dogs might be trained to search for and detect these odors in the field. The dogs were trained to detect the scent of spotted knapweed first with standard narcotics detection protocol, and then they were trained to search for the scent in the field with techniques that are currently used in search and rescue. The accuracy of the dogs was 81% compared to the human surveyors at 59%.
She says the dogs could be trained to locate other kinds of invasive plants as well.
Thanks, Suzanne. Scientists have observed a wild cat imitating the call of its prey to lure it closer. A small spotted margay cat approached a troop of tiny monkeys called pied tamarins and began emitting a call like that of a baby tamarin. First one monkey, then others went down to investigate. The cat pounced, but the monkeys got away. Still, the finding lends new credence to previous stories of cunning cat ventriloquism.
And in other news, some species of male fireflies practice synchronized flashing, and now researchers know why. Each species of male signals females with its own flash pattern, but when there are males of various types flashing, females can become confused. When males of one species work together to synchronize their flashing, the females can more easily find a suitable mate.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of exciting science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, tune in to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question on the show, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.